You are listening to the Friday Morning Show. I'm Heidi Holton along with Scott Hall, sitting in for John Bauer this morning. And next Tuesday, May 15th at the Blandon Foundation, there's a training on how to recognize signs and symptoms of what to do during an overdose. It's a training on administering Narcan and Naloxone. Deb Nothe is back with us this morning. You lost your son, Garrett, in 2014,
yep,
is that
October
right?
Of 2014.
Gosh. And now she works with other families and people struggling with addiction through the Garrett Bethke Foundation. Thank you for being here today.
Thank you for having me.
You've brought Ryan and Martha. Can you kind of tell us a little bit first about them, why you brought them today, and how you guys are working together?
Yeah, Martha and Ryan came to me, and they found out about me and what we do with blessing bags and whatever. I'm not really even sure how they... And so they came to me and asked me about if I do Narcan training, and they are starting a harm reduction program in Grand Rapids area and for northern Minnesota. And Martha, do you want to tell, or Ryan, say what you guys really are trying to do here, which is a great program?
Yeah, so thank you for having us here today. So what we're trying to do is create a harm reduction program, which essentially helps folks that are using drugs mitigate some of the risks that are associated with using drugs. So, for instance, a person who uses IV or injection drugs would be exposed to the risk of hepatitis C or HIV. So we want to provide folks with clean syringes. And also we want to get those syringes off the streets. We want to provide people with Narcan and Narcan training. We want to provide people with safer use education, and also just a compassionate, accepting environment where, you know, they can be where they're at and be exactly who they are. We're not going to ask them to be anywhere that they're not.
How do you identify people who need your help?
Well, I think that it just goes by word of mouth. So people come to us. We don't necessarily, you know, we're not really aggressive with what we're doing. So if someone comes to us and says, hey, you know, I need some clean supplies, you know, we don't ask questions. And then eventually after we establish a relationship, you know, we could start to, you know, if we see that there's a pretty serious need for treatment, you know, we could say, you know, hey, this information exists. Do what you want with it. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, usually people just come to us.
And how would you describe the how pervasive the problem is, I guess, and the number of people you come across? Or do you have any idea how bad the problem is in Itasca County or the Grand Rapids area?
Yeah, so, yeah, we're just starting with our program, and we don't have a lot of data, so we're just, you know, grassroots, starting it up from the beginning. But, you know, so far we've been working with a couple individuals. But personally, I know people in the situation, in that kind of situation here in northern Minnesota. There's a lot of folks that are struggling.
And do you work with any social service agencies or the sheriff's office?
We would love to.
Yeah.
We don't, no.
No. Okay.
Ryan, why? What draws you to being involved here?
I feel like this is part of the healing process for me. I've used substances throughout my life, and I've been in the, you know, the standard 12-step program treatments, which didn't work for me, and I lived in Minneapolis for a long time and found this whole new world of self-help, which was harm reduction. There was a lot of, it's more progressive down there, and there's less stigma. And this is just a really big leap for me, trying to like help others with just information that I've learned and that sort of thing. So that's pretty much why I'm pretty gung-ho about doing it this way, trying to bring it here.
So this idea of harm reduction is kind of a, people are doing this in lots of places, kind of?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yep. All over the United States.
And it sounds like a first step to recovery.
Yeah. Harm reduction is for folks that are in between abstinence and full-blown use.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we're not pushing any agenda of you have to be sober. But again, we're accepting people where they're at. Because honestly, we find that that works. You know, in other harm reduction programs, that is a very effective method. In fact, a person who is part of a harm reduction or a syringe access program is 5 times more likely to complete a treatment program.
Oh, wow. Well, Ryan, tell us about, you know, the progression of your, progress or your, you know, how did it begin for you and where are you at now?
For me, let me think about that one here. I would just say that it's like kind of, it's been like, you know, addiction or just use has like, it was somewhat in my family, some family members. My uncle who passed not too long ago, like was someone super dear to me who struggled with addiction as well. So this is kind of my way of honoring him as well. We were both musicians, and there's lots of use in the music worlds. He was a train rider, and I'm a punk rocker. So there was just a lot of that. And
did you run into someone like Martha?
I ran into someone like Martha, yeah.
Uh-huh.
And she was definitely like super non-judgmental, and just like that was really empowering for me to like run into that in my steps to recovery. And that's where I'm at now. I feel like I've been sober for about 2 years. And it really feels good to be able to like, you know, work with supplies and stuff and like not get like crazy relapsey feeling and stuff. So that's where I'm at now. I would really like to get this going here in Grand Rapids and try and harm reduction is, it actually involves people in the using community as well. We can ask them like, what do you need and stuff? Do you want to be involved? Because a lot of times it's like users on the streets and stuff that are doing the work and helping other people and being like, you should be doing stuff this way. You should be taking care of yourself and that sort of thing. So hopefully that's just kind of the ball's moving and that's kind of where it goes.
That's Ryan and Martha. They're part of a harm reduction, what would you say, movement? Harm
initiative.
Initiative. They're here with Deb Nothi. They'll be at this training on May 15th. That's next Wednesday already. I don't know how that happened so quickly.
Tuesday.
Tuesday. Sorry, you guys got scared. The Blandin Foundation. You know, we talk about kind of stigmas. You guys mentioned that word, but when it comes to mental illness, and you don't often hear people talking as genuine, as real as you guys are right now, and to break these stigmas, I think we hear people who are sheriffs, or we hear, you know, people working, and not that they're not important to hear, but that stigma stuff is really important. Deb, what's it mean to you and what your family's gone through?
Oh, well, make me cry.
Yeah.
These guys came to me, and because that's a whole different part of, you know, I do the blessing bags for the homeless in my son's honor, and we try to do Narcan trainings, and I give out Narcan kits all over town, because I know people realize that you can walk into any CVS, Walgreens, anywhere in Grand Rapids also, and without a prescription and get Narcan. If you have a family member, friend, neighbor that's at risk for an overdose, everyone should carry it. Surgeon General at the Heroin Summit in Atlanta, Georgia, the 1st of April, said anyone and everyone should carry a kit. You don't know when you run into someone in a car, on the street, in a bathroom. That's why we find needles. I was at the cemetery the other day, and one of the gentlemen working out there said that someone had broke into the bathroom there, and there was dirty needles, some dope in there, and called the sheriff. So you don't know where you're going to walk into someone that might be having an overdose or kids picking up dirty needles on the street. So this program that these guys are doing is great. So with my son, you know, I did everything in my power, I thought, to fix him, and it didn't work. He got out of treatment. 6 days later, he was dead. from a heroin overdose. So when you, and since he died in 2014, the stats keep going up and up and up. This epidemic is not going to stop. We, you know, if we all had the answer, that would be great. But, you know, you don't realize the repercussions of it. It's just not that you're losing people and family members and children. It's the workforce loses $44 billion. That's an estimate a year just in opioid addiction from the productivity and treatment. And so that's all those people not putting into the economy. So when you look at the numbers, I mean, in 2016 is the last stats we have. Just in Minnesota, we lost 637 people from opiate overdose. That's just opiates. And every year, the numbers keep going up and up and up. The drugs aren't going to stop. So at least we can maybe get everyone equipped with a Narcan kit if they know someone at risk. And people think it's just addicts that are at risk. There's a lot of older people in everyone's community that are on high doses of pain medication. Their family members, their caretakers should all also have a kit. I mean, people don't think about that. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's just an addict, which makes me crazy. But so what these, you know, what Martha and Ryan are doing is so important too, to help the people that are struggling so hard to just stay alive every day so at least they can have some sort of dignity, because there's so much stigma and shame with this disease. And a lot of people with addiction issues also have some sort of a mental illness, which is that's a whole other stigma and shame. So I think, you know, if we can at least get the word out there and say, hey, there's help, there's options for you. And maybe you're not ready for treatment, you know? But people say, oh, Narcan is just a crutch. Why should we keep saving these addicts that keep overdosing? Mm-hmm. Well, maybe that one time you save their life is the time they say, you know what? I want to change my life. I'm ready. Mm-hmm. If they're dead, you can't do anything.
How do Narcan and Naloxone work?
What it is, this is the other stigma about Naloxone. It's if someone who is not on an opioid, if you're not on opioid, it doesn't do anything. What it does is it knocks the opiates off the receptors, and it lets them start, you know, you give them a shot of Narcan if you know they're overdosing. And if they're not, it's not going to hurt them either. So you give them a shot of Narcan, you wait 2 minutes. If they're not coming around, you can give them another dose. You know, obviously you call 911 and get the paramedics there and get them to the hospital or whatever. If, you know, and with a fentanyl problem, which is stronger than the heroin, so sometimes we have to give them several doses to have them come around to get some help.
Mm-hmm. Now you said these Narcan and Naloxone can be purchased at any pharmacy. How much they cost, and how many should you carry around? Because you said it might take more than one.
Well, usually we give them out, and we usually have 3 doses in our kits. I think at the pharmacy they give out, I think it's 2 doses in a kit that will, your insurance will pay for it if you have insurance. I tried it for my insurance. It was $5. They're usually like, the IV kits are about $40 to $60. And then there's the nasal. It's another way of administering it, are anywhere from 70 to 100. You think, what's the life worth, you know, so.
So in this training, people will learn how to administer.
They will learn how to administer.
Is it
hard? We
have
kits. No, super easy. Super easy.
It's intramuscular, if it's not nasal, which is what we just learned when we went to a harm reduction conference at White Earth, because I was worried about it being hard to administer, uh-huh. But you can just put it in the shoulder. And it's pretty easy to do.
You know, yesterday I emailed you, Deb, that we talked to Representative Dave Baker. So there are 2 legislators, at least 2 right now, that have lost mm-hmm. children to this. And they're working as hard as they can to combat yes. the pharmaceutical industries. And it's an uphill battle, but they are at least talking about it and making steps. And, you know, people are watching what's going on in Minnesota in terms of the legislature right now, in terms of trying to do this penny a pill, where they charge the pharmacy companies It's not quite in the bill anymore, but they're working hard at it. So folks, especially Representative Dave Baker, who we talked to yesterday, who's, you can find that interview at our website, kexe.org, but he really asked that if this issue is of concern to you, write to your legislators and let them know that it matters to you.
This bill started because a friend of mine lost her daughter, Shelley. Mm-hmm. And she has been a warrior about this, just a warrior. And she has got a lot of legislators and senators, and it's the ones that have had personal impact because of this opiate crisis. So anyone and everyone should get a hold of their local reps and say, this is how it's affected my family. I want it to stop. Mm-hmm. Enough.
So Tuesday, May 15th, Blandin Foundation. Tell us times and what people will find there.
6:30 at Blandin Foundation. We're going to do a Narcan training. Meds One is going to be there to talk. And Ryan and Martha, you can, you know, say what you guys are going to do.
Yeah, so first and foremost, there's going to be pizza. you'll find the pizza there. Very generous donation from Sammy's, Domino's, Pizza Hut, Pizza Works. Great folks. Thank you. And then you'll find Ryan and I doing a introduction to harm reduction in northern Minnesota, in Grand Rapids in particular. And we may or may not have Maggie from the Rural AIDS Action Network.
Okay. That is at 6:30 Tuesday night. If you need more information, how to connect with Deb or Ryan or Martha or to get to this event, you can always give us a call at 800-662-5799. Thanks for telling your stories.
Thank you.
Thank you.